Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Don't take my eyes off the
ball again. You reel me out. 5:09 here on the Gary Parrish Show. It's Brad Carson in studio. Gary is on set in New York for CBS Sports. Of course, we've got all of the tournament week stuff happening, championship week. So lots of action. The Memphis Tigers closing out a win, so they'll play UCF tomorrow at FedEx Forum. But we are joined right now by the great Neil McCready. Let's make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse in Memphis. Now on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Neil, stepping into Jeff's spot here as Jeff is on deadline, I guess, with the Daily Memphian, if that's what they have these days on the internet. Of course, Neil with Rivals does the Oxford Exxon podcast covering Ole Miss and at the SEC tournament. Neil, thanks for joining us this afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Brad. Good to be with you.
Yeah, lots of basketball, so it's a fun time. This is one of my favorite times. This is I was studying about vasectomies and how this is apparently vasectomy season for men, particularly my age, I guess, in my early 40s, or maybe younger, or maybe older. I guess I didn't study the ages close enough, but it does, in fact, all the research leads to this is, in fact, 30% increases in vasectomies this time of the year. So I won't pry, but I will tell you, I had friends on Twitter today tell me that, in fact, yes, they had a vasectomy this time of the year. I don't know if you have similar friends.
That's a great idea, and had I had more time to think about it, that's probably what I would have done. But, no, I did my I have a story associated to that I'll tell you at some point. It's a much longer story. Yeah. I was working in Mobile, and we were covering the search that resulted at the end of the day. It resulted in the hiring of Nick Saban, but Alabama had hired Rich Rodriguez. He took the job for. I think he took the job. There's a lot of argument about whether he took it or didn't take it, but we certainly believe that he had taken it. In fact, my editor told me there was going to be a press conference the next day in Tuscaloosa, and he wanted me to go. And I said, man, I've got a vasectomy scheduled for tomorrow morning, and you've known about this for weeks. And I had gone up, coincidentally, the quarterback at West Virginia was a kid from Daphne, which is right across the bay from Mobile. And I had gone up that summer and done a huge This Is Your Life Pat White story and had all sorts of leftover stuff from Rich Rodriguez. So we cut a deal. That night, I wrote an opus, basically, about Rich Rodriguez and who he is and all the stuff at West Virginia. And in return, I didn't have to go to Tuscaloosa. Instead, I could go to my surgeon. And anyway, as you know, Rich Rodriguez ultimately changed his mind, and the story never ran. But I did get my vasectomy. But now that I think about it, doing it on the Thursday of the NCAA tournament would have been more entertaining.
You missed an opportunity, Neil, and you're an opportunist, so I'm disappointed in some respects. They call it, Fortune magazine says it's vast madness. I've done way too much research on this. Apparently, they wrote a whole column on this. Now there's promotions around it, and Buffalo Wild Wings has a special chair with an area that is massaging, I guess, and helpful. Beverages are served. Locally, the Rec Room has a vasectomy special they've scheduled, including Lazy Boys in a full-service bar. And then my friend on Twitter, my friend Ron said he has an idea to do it on opening day of baseball. He'll do the left one this year and the right one next. So I don't think you can split this up in two parts.
I don't think that's how it works.
No,
Ron.
No,
yeah, no.
No, my wife won't buy it when I tell her that my vasectomy is going to be a two-part series. And part of it is this year on opening day so I can see the Cardinals opening day and then try the second part, if you will, next year. But, you know, there's a lot of places I want to go with you. And I want to start with something that, and I've been hosting the show and kind of doing some stuff in the background here at the station today. So I've kind of been out of the loop following the Tigers game. Tigers won this afternoon here locally. So that was a big story. And for Tiger fans, Tigers won 83-68. They will play tomorrow against UCF in the American Championship. But you are actually at the SEC tournament, and there's a lot going on there. And obviously the big story is LSU. I mean, I'm not going to bury the lead here. Will Wade made his statement earlier today and basically did this positioning for his attorney and himself so that he can continue to get paid, saying, hey, I want to coach LSU. He issued the statement and sort of did that, I'm sure, to position himself to get paid until they ultimately, we kind of see where this movie is going. But you said that there's a reporter in down in Louisiana, and there might be more to this story. And I don't want to get you in trouble because I know you're probably following it just like I am through Twitter and through social media channels. But what is the latest from the tournament there?
Well, this is Elizabeth Crisp, who is the Capitol reporter for the Baton Rouge Advocate there, obviously in Baton Rouge. And she tweets just a moment ago that it's basically an audit on the Lady of the Lake Hospital, which is a huge hospital down in Baton Rouge. The audit findings on some allegations that are made, the audit was found that $810,000 were lost, quote, due to fraudulent activity, end quote. Mm-hmm. She goes on to report, the forensic investigation also revealed two questionable issues that warranted that the Lady on the Lake Hospital notify legal counsel for LSU. And look, wow. So the rest of this is somewhat rumor and innuendo. And like you said, I do want to be super careful because I don't want to get sued. But there are rumblings out there that this involves LSU athletics. Basically, that stolen funds were involved in things that stolen funds weren't supposed to be involved in. Right. Again, rumor.
Yeah,
rumor. You know, no one's proven that. No one has come out and alleged it in firm terms. But it's obviously a point of contention. And if you look at what's happening with LSU right now, LSU's having to be super careful that they look like they are maintaining institutional control because they're obviously concerned that this story could blow up.
Yeah.
That this story could end up being a whole lot more than Will Wade or Javonte Smart or whatever, you know, and I think they're concerned that it might stretch beyond men's basketball. So certainly LSU is the story here. Tomorrow at noon, LSU is before LSU plays Florida. LSU is going to get their regular season title trophy, and I think it is going to be a really awkward moment for Greg Sankey. I know for an absolute fact the league is absolutely not happy with LSU. They're not happy with the fact that here's this tournament with seven, maybe eight SEC teams headed to the NCAA tournament. Two to three teams, probably national title contenders, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU. And the story is all off the court stuff with LSU. That's not the kind of thing that makes the SEC happy. So tomorrow's going to be a pretty interesting day. And then for LSU going forward, this is a story that they're obviously trying to get out in front of because they, again, this is a lot bigger than whether or not Will Wade returns. And by the way, Will Wade is not going to return.
No, and we know how the movie ends in all likelihood. It doesn't end well for him. And then the second part of that is, and you're right, it sucks for the SEC because it's like there's so many cool things, including the team you cover, and we're talking to Neil McCready because, like, look at Ole Miss. Just look at Ole Miss in general. I mean, in the Mid-South, that team has the coach of the year now in the SEC, and there's so much cool stuff to look forward to. You get a chance to go to the tournament, it looks like, and yet here we are talking about the freaking LSU story and Will Wade getting popped. I mean, it sucks. It just sucks.
Well, for the league, it does. I mean, you know, it's not taking any of the excitement from Ole Miss away. Right. I mean, obviously,
from
you
a
know,
national perspective, I guess, is where I was thinking, but, you know.
Yeah, and there's probably some truth to that, and they'll get some of the attention that they deserve, you know, probably next week. I mean, look, they've got a tough game coming up here in 40 minutes or so with Alabama.
Alabama, sure.
And if they, you know, Alabama popped them during the regular season, so if they happen to beat Alabama, they get Kentucky tomorrow night, and that's one hell of an assignment when you in the tournament. But,
right.
You know, they've had a great year. I mean, Kermit's – you know, the juxtaposition from where this program, the Ole Miss program, was a year ago at this time to where it is today is just remarkable. And I don't think that anybody saw it coming. I mean, I really don't.
No.
You know, Kermit said all the right things. You know, you'd love to know what he really believed when he took over the program. But, I said all along, if this team went to the NCAA tournament, he was the SEC Coach of the Year. And that's proven to come to fruition. I do think they're headed to the tournament, even if they lose tonight. And then they're probably not a second weekend team. But for this team to get to the tournament is an incredible accomplishment. There's just no way around it.
I want to ask you about the Alabama game and do one more thing on Ole Miss. But before I do that, I want to do one more thing on the LSU story, unfortunately. And the question I have is Joe Oliva. Does Joe Oliva make it through all of this scandal? He's the AD at LSU.
Great question. He's not popular. He in the eyes of the LSU fan base, he bungled a football coaching search twice.
Yep.
Now you've got this situation with Wade, where I think Oliva did the right thing. I don't know how. You know, all the LSU people there's this contingent of LSU people that think that they should have played, let Will Wade continue coaching after that story broke.
And we know why, because they've sucked for a long time, so let's do this, right?
So, I mean, I'll give Oliva credit. I think he absolutely did the right thing, especially when Will Wade would not sit down with LSU people and have a conversation about the story and about the wiretaps. I mean, we're talking federal wiretaps, but does he survive it? I don't know. I think you get back into what did Joe Oliva know? What should he have known? When should he have known it? What should his response have been? Because, look, this Will Wade was tied up in this story back in September, October. So this isn't a new thing. I mean, the new quotes are new, and the stuff involving Javonte Smart is new. But what should Oliva have known? What should he have done about it? Were they trying to cover it up? What were they trying to do? And those are all questions that, at this point, I don't really know that anybody can answer, but, you know, the three pretty big national reporters working on that story, and so, you know, I suspect they're not finished. So we'll see where it goes.
Neil McCready is on with us, of course, from the Oxford Exxon podcast. He's on the Ole Miss beat with Rivals, of course, guest host here on 92.9, frequent guest on the station, and I appreciate you carving out some time with us. You know, nothing will surprise me after looking at all this academic scandal stuff that's happening with the admissions scandal and Lori Loughlin this week. I mean, it's funny, just when you think the FBI wiretap stories could get wilder, and then you run into the Will Wade story, and then you see this one, and then Phil Mickelson issuing a statement saying, yeah, I used the guy, but we didn't do anything fraudulent. It's like, this LSU story, nothing will surprise me at this point. You know, I mean, it's just been a wild week in college athletics.
It has, and that, you know, everybody's focused because of the salaciousness of it with Lori Loughlin and what's her name? I can't even.
Yeah,
I can't
the girl think from Desperate Housewives. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Felicity Huffman.
Felicity Huffman. Thank you. Yeah.
You know, everyone's focused on that, but I'm curious to see the rest of the names.
Oh, me too.
How wide-ranging was this?
Well, and it tells you, when Phil Mickelson preemptively issues a statement like that, you know there's more coming.
Yeah, and there's going to be a document drop at some point. All of this stuff's going to come out. And I suspect he was getting out in front of it. His PR people said, let's get out in front of this, which was smart. But, yeah, look, intercollegiate athletics are crazy. They really are. And there's so much going on with this. Listen, everyone I talk to, and I'm here in Nashville. I've been here since Tuesday. And everyone I talk to, media, coaches, people around coaches, everyone says that this case, when it goes to trial in April, the case where both Sean Miller at Arizona and Will Wade have been subpoenaed, that this case is a bomb.
Right.
That the fallout is going to be immense. Mm-hmm. And the message that's being sent is really kind of twofold. One is you got to have layers when you do this. You can't be directly involved. And two, you need to really think twice about doing it at all.
Yeah.
And the shoe companies aren't going to get out away from this. But listen, it's a matter of time before one of these people facing jail time flips and sings. And I mean, there's a lot of rumblings about, you know, which SEC coaches aren't going to make it, which Big 12 coaches aren't going to make it, that head coaches are going to go down in this thing. I tend to believe it to be true, Brad.
Well, and I thought Gary made an excellent point. We've got Neil McCready on with us here from the SEC tournament. His point was basically with all of these coaches, specifically this one, though, everything at this point when you get on a wiretap, at a federal wiretap, after watching the stories that broke and then the charges and then the penalties levied in court, basically is about preservation and clearing checks as long as you can. And I think Gary's point was that's what Will Wade is in that mode right now. And that's why you issued that statement today, because it's a way to preserve, you know, $10,000 a week or whatever, $30,000 a month. You know, you're making $3 million a year. So you preserve that as long as you can by issuing statements like this. You know.
Well, and I think he's done. I don't think he can coach again. I think his coaching career is over.
Do you think it's totally over? Really?
I do. Yeah. I do. Absolutely do. Yeah. I don't think he can recover from the audio on that tape.
Yeah.
When it gets played in the federal courtroom, because he's and so I'll throw one at you. I don't know if Gary's ever said anything like this, but this might just be way too much of a hot take. But if you're Will Wade, you know where the skeletons are buried.
Oh yeah.
You know how things are done.
Yep. I know where you're going with that.
This is where maybe, you know, you kind of put it out, hey, look, you guys are going to have to take care of me a little bit, because otherwise.
Yeah. Snitches get stitches? Is that where we're saying snitches get stitches? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he says, I'm warming up my singing voice if you don't take care of me a little bit. And so, I don't know. That deal is getting contentious. The language and LSU's response to Will Wade's comments today was pretty harsh. Yeah. So, you know, I think Wade's done. I don't.
Yeah,
Gary might disagree, and Gary would.
No,
know better than I would.
He said as much. Yeah, I mean, that's what he said too.
I don't think he can coach again. I don't think he's hireable. If you're if you're an athletics director and you go to your school president and say, I want to hire Will Wade, the former LSU and Virginia Commonwealth coach, and they say, well, can we clear him through compliance? The answer to that is probably going to be no.
No.
Because, look, he's going to get put in a federal courtroom, and he's going to have the following choices. He can tell the truth, which, you know, is what they all hope he does.
Yeah.
But if he tells the truth, that's the end of his coaching career. Mm-hmm. He can lie, which at that point you've committed a felony, and they could charge him with perjury. Mm-hmm. He can go to jail for perjuring in a federal court. Or he can kind of take the fifth. And when he takes the fifth, there's an assumption of guilt as it pertains to the university, and they're going to fire him. So there's no outcome where he keeps his job.
Yep. We've got our good friend Neil McCready on the line at the SEC tournament. And so it sets up this weird number one seed. LSU is the number one seed. They take on Florida tomorrow at noon. That's on ESPN. Tony Bedford, with the opportunity of a lifetime, the former North Texas coach, his resume is awful. Gary and I pulled up the Wikipedia the other day, and it's this guy has had a rough go of it as far as coaching at the Division I level. You know, and it also sucks because there's all these distractions swirling, so it's not exactly the best of times to be thrown into the coaching sideline here. I don't know how he does it, and I am assuming that Florida will have a chance of winning that game. It's a pretty good Florida team, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, and they've played two games against each other. Both went to overtime. Florida won in Baton Rouge. LSU won in Gainesville. Florida plays very hard on the defensive end. They had to have a win today against Arkansas. They got it. They played really well on that end of the court. So now for Florida, it's kind of a free shot. You have to think the LSU kids are distracted. They beat Vanderbilt the other night with all the emotion in the building. But now there's been almost a week since that game was played. Their coach isn't there as of this moment. Javonte Smart's not cleared, although there's a lot of people that think he will be cleared in time to play. But, you know, it's a distracted program. And if you're LSU, you can't walk into the gym tomorrow expecting a friendly whistle.
No,
I'm sure the SEC would love nothing more than to get LSU the hell out of this tournament tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
It's gonna be wild to see some of the reactions. Before we let you go, I want to get to Ole Miss. Obviously, you get Alabama. The team gets Alabama. They got blown out at Bama. I realized that was 2 months ago. I realized it was in Tuscaloosa. A lot of emotions probably on the Ole Miss side because of just a terrific season for them, considering that Kermit wasn't expected to do all this. How do you expect them to play? I would have presumed it would be a pretty close game, actually, wouldn't it, Neil?
Yeah, I would think so, and I think Ole Miss will be a little loose. They beat Missouri. It took a lot of pressure off of them. Probably put them in the tournament. This is the one game all season, really. You know, Ole Miss played 18 SEC games. They won 10. Yep. They lost to Arkansas by 1. They lost to Tennessee by 2. They lost to Kentucky by 4. Mississippi State by 5. I mean, they played a bunch of really close games. Alabama popped them. Yeah. I mean, Alabama led by 16 at halftime, and the second half was never competitive. It was easily this team's worst performance in SEC play. Now, it was 2 months ago, so I'm sure that, you know, that won't have any real bearing on tonight's game. But it's a game that they'd like to erase that from their record a little bit by beating Alabama. And there's no question that this team wants to win some postseason games. It wants another shot at Kentucky tomorrow night. And the other thing you want to do is, you know, there's already been a couple of bid seals, and there might be another one. Like, Memphis could easily win that tournament up there. And, you know, Memphis probably has to win that tournament to get into the NCAA field.
Yeah.
And if they do, they steal a bid. So if you're Ole Miss, you don't really want to go home tonight and have to sweat it on Sunday. If you win tonight against Alabama on a neutral court and then you play Kentucky on Friday, even if you lose to Kentucky because of where their net is, it's not going to hurt you at all.
Like, Ole Miss is in, right? Yeah, they're firmly in, it looks like. Alabama's the desperate team here.
Yeah, I would think Ole Miss is in. I mean, but you could erase any doubt by winning tonight. And, yeah, you know, look, Alabama's net is like 57, 58. It's not good.
It's close, right.
They've lost 5 of their last 7 games. They looked awful in Fayetteville on Saturday night. Just awful.
Yeah.
They looked checked out. So I'll be curious to see whether they – you know, it's one thing you can talk about how hungry a team is and all of that stuff, but their actions tell you more. They have not played like a hungry team. There are some rumblings about Avery Johnson and whether Avery is looking at the SMU job. I mean, there's a lot of distractions around that team, too. So I'll be curious to see what Alabama looks like. If you told me they came out and played like their hair's on fire, I'd buy it. If you told me they came out and played kind of sluggish, I'd buy that as well. Ole Miss, on the other hand, I think they'll be a pretty focused team tonight.
One more NBA, because you're an NBA guy before you go, and I know you got to cover this game, so I'll let you go after this. Were you surprised by the result last night in Houston with the Warriors, without Kevin Durant going in there and actually making quite a statement with a Kevin Durant-less Warriors team against the Houston Rockets?
I was surprised, but more I was surprised by how effective DeMarcus Cousins was in that lineup. He had not been effective at all going into that game. In fact, he had kind of become a liability if you look at some of the analytics. He was really good last night.
Yep.
You know, and look, they needed to beat Houston. I know it sounds crazy that there would be any seeds of doubt in the Golden State Warriors' collective mind, but if they got swept in a season series by Houston, a Houston team that took them to Game 7 a year ago in the Western Conference Finals, there might have been just a little bit of kind of angst, and now they probably erased some of that. I think the playoffs are going to be a lot of fun. I think the Warriors are the prohibitive favorite, no doubt.
Yep.
But I do think the Warriors are more vulnerable now than they've been in the last couple of years.
See, after watching that last night, I just went back to last year and went in my hole, and I'm like, here it goes again. You know, it's the Warriors, and inevitably they figure it out. But you're right. I mean, I think Houston is their biggest – that's the biggest obstacle, I think, still, despite the outcome last night.
Yeah, I think Houston is. I still think Denver gives them problems. I think Utah's played really well lately. I think Utah can give them some problems.
OKC looks good, too, yeah.
OKC could give them some problems, depending on Paul George's health with his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's going to be a free run. And then there's a couple of teams in the East, Brad. Yep. Milwaukee, Philadelphia. I think those teams could give them problems. I really do.
Yeah. Hey, Neil, thanks for carving out some time. We're about 30 minutes from tip at the Alabama-Ole Miss game, so I appreciate you carving out some time before game here.
Absolutely, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. It's the great Neil McCready. Neil, of course, joins us here on 92.9, and he's part of the Oxford Exxon podcast covering Ole Miss. The beat writer, the columnist, does the pods down there on the Rivals beat for Rivals.com. Always a pleasure to be joined by Neil. And next, we'll be joined by Bo Hart, my friend Bo Hart, Mid-Southerner here. Also part of the St. Louis Cardinals, played second base for the Cardinals, the Redbirds, and he joins us next. I want to talk to him a little bit about Gonzaga, because the Zags lost there in their conference tournament, but we're still arguing if they should be a number one seed. I'll see what Bo thinks next about that on the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9.
Go now to 92.9.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
29ESPN.com and sign up immediately for the Book at Horseshoe Bracket Challenge presented by Papa John's Pizza.
Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You could win over $1,500 worth of stuff. A year's worth of haircuts and products and supercuts, a We Sell Tools prize package including professional service cart, 121 mechanics tool set, and get a University of Memphis Platinum Jewelers pendant necklace valued at $500.
Enter the Bracket Challenge on the station you love. Go to 929ESPN.com.
Do you want another truck or a truck like no other? How about deals on that truck during Ram Truck Month? A truck with an available touchscreen that stretches an entire foot. A truck that has capabilities that don't exist in any other truck in its class, like available air suspension. Heck, Motor Trend's 2019 Truck of the Year truck. Do you want a truck that's not only about towing and hauling and payload capability, but a truck that stretches every ability?
I'm a champion!
It's the all-new Ram 1500. Come in now during Ram Truck Month for deals like no other. Financing get $12,250 in total values on select 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Bighorn Crew Cab models with a standard audio system and in-dealer stock the longest. Class based on light-duty pickups. On oldest 30% inventory of 2019 Ram 1500 Classic models as of 3/1/19 while dealer stock lasts. Total values include combined cash allowances and $3,000 Bighorn package value. Financing for all qualified buyers through Chrysler Capital. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 4/1.
Hey, business owners. It's switch and save days at Comcast Business. Right now, when you switch to the nation's largest gig speed network, you save on fast, reliable internet. Get started with 25 megabit internet and voice for $59.90 per month for a two-year agreement when you sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. That's $650 off our regular yearly price. Just one more way we take your business beyond. There's never been a better time to switch to Comcast Business. But hurry, switch and save days ends April 5th. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Offer ends 4/5/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. Two-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra subject to change.
Hello, I'm Joe Cordell of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. Here are a few quick divorce tips that we provide our clients. Number one, don't move out of your house just because your wife tells you to. Remember, that's your house too. And number two, don't blow through the financial statements that you file with the court. These are key exhibits, and they often make or break your case. And number three, watch the social networking. Expect your wife's lawyer to do a thorough online search. And incidentally, this is a two-way street. Now, a bonus tip. Partner with your attorney in assembling evidence. You're one of the two leading experts on your life and marriage. Your attorney needs your input to achieve your goals. And finally, talk to your attorney before taking action. Good luck.
Contact Cordell & Cordell to schedule an appointment with one of our firm's Memphis attorneys. A partner men can count on. Online at CordellCordell.com. That's CordellCordell.com. 6000 Poplar Avenue, Suite 225, Memphis, Tennessee, 38119.
It's no secret around here. I like things my way. My way keeps our customers happy. My way keeps us on budget. My way keeps this place running. And my way means ordering from Grainger. They've got what we need when we need it. With simplified checkout, dedicated customer reps, and knowledgeable product experts, I can order online, on the phone, or at a branch the way I like it. My way. When it comes to effortless ordering, Grainger's got your back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Discount travel sites say they have the best prices, but Hilton.com has the price match guarantee. Look me in the eye. If you find a better rate, they match it and take 25% off. Yeah, well, this is radio, so just stare at the radio. Hilton.com has the best prices. Pinky swear. Or, you know, radio swear. Plus, you can choose your exact room and get free Wi-Fi. Cross my heart, stick a needle in my radio. Expect better. Expect Hilton.
Must be a Hilton Honors member. Applicable terms and conditions at Hilton.com. Pinky swear.
Outlaws and Renegades Tour.
And it's a great...
Starring Travis Tritt and the Charlie Daniels Band. With special guest, the Cadillac 3. Friday, June 28th, Bank Plus Amphitheater at Snowden Grove. Tickets on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. Presented by Live Nation.
You could argue that no city in the world is better known for its barbecue than Memphis is known for its barbecue, but I don't know if people realize this. There's only one Memphis area restaurant that actually serves world championship barbecue, and it is Memphis Barbecue Company down in Horn Lake. Melissa Cookson, she's the owner. She's won 8 world championships. She was the first woman inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today said a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company in Horn Lake is, quote, worth a pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years. If you've been there, you know how great it is. If you haven't been there, you need to get down there. 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. The ribs are cooked multiple times per day to give guests fresh from the cooker quality. And when you order a pulled pork sandwich, the pork is hand-pulled right then and not a moment earlier. 709 DeSoto Cove, that's the address, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. It's Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, memphisbbqco.com.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Our thanks to Jason Smith for joining us live from FedEx Forum earlier. Tigers a winner over Tulane. They'll play tomorrow against UCF in the quarterfinals of the American Tournament. So we talked hoops and talked a lot about James Wiseman, who's also playing for his East team and dunked over a dude and hung on the rim and jumped over the guy. He was 6'3". It was a 7-foot man jumping over a 6'3 human at the state tournament. So that was fun. So we talked to Jason in the first segment. We got Gary on to talk a little bit about Zion Williamson and some college hoops, including the Tigers. Thanks to Neil McCready, who just joined us from the SEC tournament. But I've been putting him off for a little bit, and I'm so happy he's taken some time to join me this afternoon. It is my friend Bo Hart, who I've known for a couple of years. He's been a guest host on this show, former second baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. He tied a 102-year-old record with 28 hits in his first 15 major league at-bats, or at his games, actually. And Yasiel Puig made a run at your record. He fell one short. How's it feel to keep that record, Bo?
I'm glad it's still intact. Good luck to Yasiel, but I'm glad I still hold that one. Thanks for having me, Brad.
No, thank you for joining me. And you and I have been talking back and forth over the last year. Your family still makes their home. You're making your home right here in the Mid-South, right?
Absolutely. My wife, born and raised here, Lydia, and I have two boys now, Cruz and Brock. Cruz is 4.5, and Brock is 9 months. So, yeah, I've been living here since 2003, officially.
And you are along with a couple of the old Redbird players who started with Memphis and obviously went up to St. Louis, make your home here. Jason Mott makes his home here as well. I guess it's worked out pretty well for you.
Absolutely. This is a great community. I love being a part of it. It's home now for me. I do miss the beach in California, but yeah. Memphis is definitely home and treated me well.
I wanted to bring you on because you went to Gonzaga, and you and I follow them, and they're obviously making their run to the tournament. The argument now, since they lost to St. Mary's in their conference championship, is if they should be a one seed. So I'll just ask you the basic question. Make the argument why your Zags should be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament.
Well, it is the full entire body of work, and what set the table this year was beating Duke in the Maui Invitational. I really think that, and they were – And Duke was full squad, even though early in the year.
Right.
And the Zags didn't have their best player. That was Killian Tilly. He just came back. And you can see, even having him, you can have an off night and an uncharacteristic loss to St. Mary's. But again, St. Mary's is not is second to the Zags in the West Coast Conference. And the West Coast Conference did a great job this year. They had a winning record against the Pac-12 as a whole.
Pac-12 is really bad this year, though, I will say.
I know, yeah. But you know, it's that, you know, they had two losses back to back in the middle of the year, mm-hmm. to North Carolina at North Carolina, and then to Tennessee, who was in the top 10 at that point, at a neutral site. So the Zags, with how much mm-hmm. margin of victory they have each game, coming day in and day out, putting the best product up for everyone to see, I really do think. Obviously, they keep their number one. I mean, this is the conference tournaments. It's championship week. Anything can happen. And, yeah, the Zags should have won that game, but it's, as you and I talked about the other day, it's not a bad loss. It's just a loss.
I actually think, and this goes to the old reverse psychology thing, and we're talking to Bo Hart, former Cardinal here on the line with this local Memphian and a Gonzaga grad. You know, it can work in your favor because you get the loss out of your system. And I looked at some of the numbers earlier. They're number two in the net, so that all works out still. Number two, KenPom. Number two, BPI. Number four, Sagarin. So I'm expecting them to be a number one seed. I don't think we even need to make the argument at this point. But, you know, it can help some of these teams, I'm sure, going, yeah, we got that one out of our way. Now let's go win the tournament. Do you agree with that?
I do. Look what happened in 2017. They had a perfect record going in to play their last regular season game against BYU at BYU and lost. And then they made their run to the championship. I think teams do need to get that out of the way. Mm-hmm. But Mark Few, the awesome coach that he is, he puts things in the past so quickly. You know, I got a little bit of inside information and how he prepares his team to, obviously, for the game at hand, but how quickly they forget what happened, whether it's successful or a failure, they move on and it's out of this system at all. I hang on to it longer when they lose than the actual Zags do. I can guarantee you that.
We're talking to Bo Hart here, and I want to get some baseball on while we've got you on. And we don't talk as much baseball, especially during March Madness, but we've got a couple of minutes here. Cardinals today, a tie ball game, one of the few weird things about spring training, you get tie games. They played the Mets. Mets tie the Cardinals 1-1 in spring training in Jupiter. No appearance by Tim Tebow. Tim doing something different than you did on your way to a major league career. But Tim, obviously, we know all about Tim Tebow. Football star, goes from Florida, gets drafted, doesn't work out in the NFL, a man of faith, which is very admirable, and now making a run at trying to make his dream come true, which is to make it to the majors, just like you did, Bo. And so I wanted to ask you about Tim specifically, even though he didn't play today. I mean, it looks like this guy is going to get a chance at the major leagues at some point and get in that batter's box. What are the obstacles to doing that, and is what he's done already, is it remarkable what we've already seen him making it to? He's probably going to be a Triple-A player this year.
No, I do agree how remarkable it is for Tim Tebow, because you take 95% of all the professional athletes in their given sport and put them in another professional sport, they're all going to fail. And I think that there have been those few, right? The Deion Sanders, the Bryden Jordans, there's a few others out there that have dabbled in playing two to professional sports at a very, very high level. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it is amazing to think that someone who really didn't play very much baseball to just be that much of an athlete, and how strong and hand-eye coordination and the skills. I mean, it is. I hope he does. I mean, that's just good for sports. And
the hand eye is the hardest part, right? Not to interrupt you, but you've been on record saying it was the curveball that really, you know, once they started scouting you, and this is even earlier in the video sequence than it is now. I'm sure the scouting's advanced even in the last 10 years. I mean, that was really what may have gotten you a little bit, right?
Well, I did. Hit a couple of homers off the curveball just to set the record straight. But
yeah, a couple
of
hangers,
no,
yeah.
But it is scouting, and it's advanced scouting. It's trying to find a weakness, and that's the thing about sports, and especially professional sports, is the adjustments that need to be made pitch by pitch. And that is hard to do, and that's why, you know, there are very few people that are very successful, and then the other ones that kind of bounce around, right, whatever sport you're in. But if you can make the adjustments – and what you see each pitch at the major league level, then you'll play for a long time. And that was something that I struggled with. I obviously got a lot more fastballs because nobody knew who I was, and that's how you're going to challenge hitters that you don't know a lot about. But, you know, when they started throwing sliders, I tried to be more disciplined, but it was hard. Again, at that big league level, it's hard. But if the pitchers are making the adjustments, then the hitter has to, and then so on and so on. And you know, I'm glad I had lightning in a bottle for a little bit to have a little bit of success and to have some stories to talk about 15 years later.
What most humans wouldn't give to have those games that you played for St. Louis, 15 games, and just the streak with the 28 hits, it's pretty remarkable, and for Cardinal fans like myself, it truly is. It was something to behold at the time, and I'm sure those are great memories for you. We're talking to Bo Hart from the Cardinals, and obviously makes his home right here in Memphis now on 92.9 FM ESPN. You can hear the Cardinals on 790. Real quick before we let you go, a couple more things. We asked you about the Zags and about your former team, the Cardinals. How do they look to you? I mean, we've got lots of young talent. You've got Tyler O'Neill, who might start here in AAA. You've got Jordan Hicks, the flame-throwing pitcher, who will probably start here in Memphis, I should say. But with the stockpile of talent both in Memphis and then what you've acquired with Paul Goldschmidt at first base, who will obviously be in St. Louis hitting home runs like he did this week, what are your thoughts on St. Louis and the Cardinals' chances against the Cubs in the Central this year?
Well, I think at the beginning of each year, the moves that are made are to prepare that big league team for the most success. And the Triple A team is that the emergency kind of contingency plan with injuries and other trades or performance. But I think the Redbirds and the Cardinals have a great relationship. There were so many players last year that got their opportunity to go to the big league level. You know, talking to Stubby Clapp over the last several months during the season, and how many he had to replace his entire starting rotation at one point, and then they still won a championship. So the farm system is well prepared to not only fill the single A, double A, triple A squads and be competitive, but to be that contingency plan for the big leagues. But it doesn't matter those off-season signs. I was a victim of that when I was making my run. They kept signing people ahead of me and ahead of me. I got no control over that. I come to the ballpark and tried to do what I could given the opportunity, and that's all you can ask of the Redbirds to do here in Memphis is just be ready for that call. And they'll be prepared, and hopefully they don't need them a lot, and the Cardinals are off and running and they make the playoffs, because I know they definitely want to get back there. But I think it's going to be a good year in both cities.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get to see some guys from here go on up and get to root for them in St. Louis.
Well, Bo, we look forward to seeing you maybe on the sidelines watching some games, bringing the family to the ballpark, and congrats to you and your family. It seems like you've settled in here nicely, so thanks for coming on with us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me. Anytime. It's my favorite time of the year, and when the Zags are playing.
Zags, yeah.
Yeah, go Zags for sure. But when they're playing, it's the time that I get to be a fan. So I'll be enjoying March Madness, and hopefully they get back to the Final Four.
I appreciate your analysis on the Zags. Look forward to it. We'll talk to you later, Bo. Thanks so much.
No problem. Anytime, Brad. Thanks.
The great Bo Hart from the St. Louis Cardinals. We'll be back with Dinner to Go on the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 ESPN.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, as usual, running long here, but our thanks to the great Bennett Doyle sitting in studio, holding down the producer duties as he does every day with Jason and John. Shouts to Bennett. Thanks to Jason Smith from Jason and John coming on with us from FedEx Forum after the Tigers win their game this afternoon, advancing to tomorrow's game against Central Florida. Gary Parrish joining us from CBS. And our friend Neil McCready joining us at 5 o'clock from the SEC tournament. And also thanks to Bo Hart, who just joined me live here on the phones. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
Well, we learned that Memphis couldn't clear the spread, but did in fact win their game against Tulane. They'll advance to tomorrow's game, as I said, against Central Florida. That game at FedEx Forum tomorrow afternoon, and we'll have coverage throughout the day leading up to the game on 92.9.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Syracuse against Duke. It's the Zion Returns game. It's at 8 o'clock on ESPN television. The game is in Charlotte, so it should be a heavy Duke fan base there to watch Zion's return for Duke.
What should I watch on TV?
On the Tube, if you're not interested in the hoops, lots of hoops. Donnie Wahlberg on Colbert. Angela Bassett is on Kimmel tonight.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Yeah, an interesting top 25 and one from GP posted at CBSSports.com, and lots of content there as well as on our site, the 92.9 line at 929ESPN.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow we'll have results and info from the second round of the AAC tournament here from FedEx Forum and other conference tournaments. Gary Parrish will join us again live from New York. In the first hour, Dan Wolkin from USA Today will join us. Hopefully we'll get Jeff on tomorrow at 5 o'clock. With 92.9 in the Daily Memphian. Tomorrow morning on Golic and Wingo, join us. Mike Tirico talks hoops and more at 7:10 tomorrow. But for Bennett and for Gary and for everybody, y'all have a good night. I'll do what Gary says. Be careful, be kind, be good, and rep your hood.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.